Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. The state's proposed Cascade Point Ferry Terminal has received hundreds of comments from Southeast residents who say they want to see the ferry system work for travelers, not private mines. KTOO read the public comments submitted to the state. More than 90% of them reject building a second terminal in Juneau, farther from the city center and roughly 30 miles north of the existing Auk Bay Ferry Terminal. The first phase of the plan includes developing an access road from the end of Glacier Highway to the site in Berners Bay and a staging area for future construction. The comment period and a highly criticized economic analysis came after the state already signed a $28 million contract for the first phase of construction, set to begin this summer. Leaders in Skagway and Haines oppose the project. Members of the Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board have questioned the motive behind it and said it doesn't fit into their long-range plan for the Alaska Marine Highway System. The Juneau Assembly hasn't taken an official stance on the state's plan, but Assemblymember Maureen Hall submitted a comment. She wrote that she opposes the, quote, use of public funds to construct a remote state of Alaska ferry terminal when the facility's apparent primary purpose is to function in ore dock for private industry, end quote, and that it, quote, represents a blatant misuse of public resources, end quote. Of the more than 500 comments opposing the project, a majority said something to that effect. 33 commenters called the project a boondoggle outright. Hundreds wrote that building a second terminal in Juneau doesn't solve the problems that the Alaska Marine Highway System faces, including an aging fleet, crew shortages, reduced sailings, and a lack of funding to address those issues. This is KTOO. Good afternoon, this is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. On Monday, a Juneau jazz musician canceled a show that was meant to be a part of a festival in town this week. The show was advertised as a fundraiser for the ACLU of Alaska, but the organization who planned the festival said they didn't agree to that. KTOO's Yvonne Crumrie reports.
Spencer Edgars plays the saxophone with other local musicians in the Dream Band. Juneau Jazz and Classics tapped his band to play a show during their annual jazz fest in town. But recent national events, like immigration enforcement ramping up efforts and shooting civilians, led him to decide to approach this show differently.
Knowing I had this show coming up, I felt uncomfortable promoting a show, taking up bandwidth on the internet during a time where people are sharing resources and looking out for each other.
So Edgars decided to make the show a fundraiser for the ACLU of Alaska. The rest of his band were on board, and he cleared it with the venue, the Alaskan Hotel and Bar, which was paying the band.
The plan was to, you know, have our tip jar, pass it around to people. The tip jar was going to go to the organization.
He also planned to pass around flyers with links to report immigration enforcement activity and resources for forming safety plans. But Edgars didn't clear it with Juneau Jazz and Classics. He said the organization hadn't really been communicating about the event.
I assumed that they would not have a problem with it and did not seek the consent for that collaboration.
Edgars says festival leadership called him and expressed concerns about bringing politics into the festival. But interim director Alex Serio said a fear of political pushback was not a part of Juneau Jazz and Classics' concerns.
This went to the board, and the board decided that we've never had any outside fundraisers before.
And Serio says the board also expressed frustration at not being informed of the fundraising aspect. But if Edgars chose to ask for donations for the ACLU on stage and not in advertising, that would have been his right.
Everybody has freedom of speech. Everybody can voice what they believe in, and we respect that.
But the organization's board didn't want their branding on the same poster that advertised an ACLU fundraiser.
We just didn't want the two of them together saying that we formally endorse an outside fundraiser.
So the board asked Edgars to remove its logo from the poster, but said he could carry on with the show.
I think the board hoped that there would be a compromise, that he would still be able to ask people and he would still play and we could still include community members, but he decided to do it independently and we totally support that.
But Edgars said continuing without the organization's support didn't feel right and he canceled the performance.
I would have not felt good about compromising my values in this way. I would not have felt good with going through with it.
He posted about the cancellation on his personal Facebook account, and the post garnered dozens of comments, some from local musicians and artists, in support of his decision and admonishing the organizations. Edgar says he understands that he sprung the change on Juno Jazz and Classics at the last minute, and he says he plans to communicate earlier in any future shows. But he also wants the board to consider the organization's role in the Juno community, and that protest is inherent to jazz.
One of the things I encouraged them to do was to reflect on the history of the music and the nature of it and how it was born out of adversity and originated basically as protest music.
And Sirio says Juno Jazz and Classics will have conversations about that history more in the coming months. The Dream Band still plans to hold a fundraiser for the ACLU of Alaska sometime next month. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.
And the Alaska Department of Fish and Game recently euthanized a sick mountain goat that had a highly contagious viral skin infection that can transfer to humans and pets. The department learned about the goat from a Juneau resident who found it on Perseverance Trail and took it home last weekend. Kimberly Beckman is the wildlife health veterinarian for Fish and Game.
It's very important that people, if they see a sick or a dead wild animal that they call Fish and Game, and not try to take it home themselves. It's also illegal to pick up wildlife and take it home.
She says the goat had what's called contagious eczema. It's not always fatal in sheep and goats, but it's usually more severe and deadly in lambs and kids. Beckman says the skin lesions develop around openings in the body.
When it covers their face, their eyes, their mouth, they can't eat. This recent case, the poor animal was starving to death and was completely dehydrated. It could not see out of its eyes.
She says the goat probably would have died from the infection within a couple of days, and Fish and Game euthanized the animal over the weekend. In people, the infection is called ORF, and it's typically mild. If a person is infected, a lesion usually appears within a week of exposure. She says it's not fatal to humans or dogs, and skin lesions typically go away on their own after several weeks. The virus can transfer when the scabs make contact with openings in the skin. But she says hunters can still eat the meat of an infected animal if it's handled properly.
We recommend that people wear gloves when they're harvesting their animal and butchering it. And if they see any lesions on the skin or anything unusual, they want to make sure that they clean their knives off before they cut into the meat.
She says another goat with eczema was found dead in Juneau in December, and that Fish and Game got calls about the infections popping up every once in a while. Beckman says this is not an outbreak or an unusual occurrence. Sporadic cases have appeared in Dall sheep and mountain goats across Alaska since the 1980s, and she says the state is not currently concerned about it affecting those populations. Fish and Game requests that people record eczema cases to wildlife disease surveillance hotlines at 907-328-8354 or by calling the local Fish and Game office. And the Juneau Assembly is considering whether to ask voters to renew a 3% temporary sales tax and approve two multi-million dollar packages on this fall's municipal ballot. KTOO has more. The Juneau Assembly has some big financial decisions to make in the coming months. That's because the city faces a multi-million dollar budget hole that could result in cutting some city services in order to stay afloat. And along with figuring out how to balance the city's budget, the Juneau Assembly will need to decide in the coming months about whether a temporary tax and two bond debt proposals will appear on October's municipal ballot.
I think at the end of the day, why we put things on ballots are to give voters the choice. If they don't want to fund these things, then they won't. We don't lose anything because of that.
That's Christine Wall, an Assembly member and Finance Committee chair. At a Finance Committee meeting Wednesday night, the Juneau Assembly discussed whether to ask voters to renew a 3% temporary tax currently in place, along with putting two bond packages on the ballot to fund critical repairs and upgrades to Juneau schools and the city's water and sewer systems, which proponents say are sorely needed. Juneau currently charges 5% in local sales taxes. That's made up of both permanent and temporary taxes. Of that 5%, 3% of it is a temporary tax, which Juneau has had in place for decades. Voters approved extending it for 5 years in 2021, and it expires in mid-2027. The money collected from that 3% tax currently goes towards numerous city services, like police and fire, street maintenance and snow removal, and general government operations. City Finance Director Angie Flick says the money is fairly flexible.
Really, your roads, drainage, retainage walls, sidewalks, stairs, And we've been doing some utility work in that realm as well.
At the meeting on Wednesday, some assembly members were hesitant about whether to put the question on the ballot. That's because tax questions dominated last fall's election and because the city is in a time of budget uncertainty. When it comes to bonds, in 2024, Juneau voters approved adding nearly $23 million to the city's debt for public health and safety improvements. But last year, the assembly narrowly voted against putting the school and water and sewer system bonds on the 2025 ballot because of how crowded the ballot was already. Assemblymember Paul Kelly said he is still undecided if he wants to put them on this year's ballot, but he's interested in at least one.
I'm interested for sure in the general obligation bond for schools.
Despite the initial discussions, the temporary tax and bond packages still need to go through a few committees before the assembly votes on whether to put them on the ballot. This year's municipal election is on October 6th. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. And Juneau's Crimson Bears high school football team is slated to be featured in the most watched sporting event in the United States this weekend, the Super Bowl. In September, a team of five reporters and cameramen from a national TV network visited the team and filmed a game against Anchorage's Diamond High School at Adair Kennedy Memorial Park. This week, NBC Sports released a short film featuring Juneau's team and others across the U.S. as lead up to Super Bowl Sunday, when millions of people will watch the Seattle Seahawks and New England Patriots go head-to-head during the National Football League's 60th championship game in Santa Clara, California. The film examines the impact football has had across the U.S. and features longtime NFL sports reporter Peter King. Here's King talking about Juneau Douglas High School Yada Akathle senior wide retriever Noah Ault in the film.
The dedication of some players goes further. Noah Ault plays receiver and safety. He punts. He returns punts and kickoffs. And the aspiring athletic trainer even tapes ankles before the game.
The film can be watched on NBC's YouTube page. This is KTOO. Thank you so much for tuning in.